You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Together, we will vanquish the virus, and America will rise from this crisis to new and even greater heights. As our brave warriors have shown us from the nation's earliest days, in America, we are the captains of our own fate. No obstacle, no challenge, and no threat is a match for the sheer determination of the American people.
May the 26th, 2020. Those remarks over the weekend from President Trump, honoring our fallen vets, and of course tying their battle, their war, against what we're fighting now inside the nation, the coronavirus epidemic. And he made it clear, we will prevail. We have in the past, under much more difficult circumstances and pressures. I'd mentioned the other day, if you look back to how this nation rallied in World War II after we were hit by that surprise attack at Pearl Harbor, and then we suddenly were thrown into a battle on the Atlantic, Europe, and the Pacific, and trying to get into Japan on two major fronts. When we were originally hit, at that time, we did not have the biggest army in the world. We didn't. But within weeks, hundreds of thousands came forward to volunteer to serve their country. That was one example of how this nation rallied. And, of course, we saw the same unity come together after 9/11 for a time. And then it all got politicized. And continues to be that way even now. That's been the flaw within our nation. It's good to have dissent, debate, argument, but when you take certain events and politicize them, you're acting out of line. And I would say that to Republicans as clear as Democrats. And that's what's happened again with this virus. The idea is to make sure everyone understands this has to be Donald Trump's fault, regardless of what he did, regardless of them, the left and the mainstream media supporting them, going against his initial steps. They were saying, you're wrong, you're xenophobic, you're racist, and then they have suddenly turned, but you do not see that acknowledged by the mainstream media. They want you to simply remember the previous lines and anything they can, again, to use against this administration. With any failings they can point out, they will do so. What would have happened during World War II as we went into battle in two fronts like that? What would have happened if this nation suddenly was torn apart by dissent? Oh, we shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't not. Originally, we did not want to get involved in that war at all. But then when we were attacked, we were pulled into it. But what if we had the mainstream media and everybody else saying, no, 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 don't do anything? And where has this leftist attitude come from that is dominating the media? We're going to get into that a little bit later in the next 2 hours. We'll talk about how the media slant is absolutely destroying our country because too many people buy it without question. All right, where do we stand on the infection rate across the world? Infection rate, 5.5 million. Deaths, just under 347,000. In the U.S., 1.6 million. Death, 98,000 plus. And when we hit the 100,000 mark, you watch how the mainstream headlines shout across the world and the nation. 100,000 dead in this nation. I remember the other day, Democrats were pushing for the flags to be lowered to half staff in honor of the losses, especially when we hit the 100,000. Well, President Trump ordered them to be done so last weekend and, of course, yesterday, tying it to Memorial Day. And now they're back up. But you watch, when we hit that 100,000 mark, they will come unglued again. We've got a lot to cover in the next 2 hours. We're going to go back into the story of Joe Biden and the reaction he continues to get, because if you're black and you don't vote for Joe Biden, you ain't black. And we're also going to get into Chris Cuomo now defending what he did with nursing homes and laying it on the White House, blaming the White House. And James Carville with his approach on what Biden needs to do. And in it, he unveils something that maybe he didn't want to. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. To hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The question is, at what point do the numbers drop to the reopening threshold? Now, people can speculate, people can guess. I think next week, I think 2 weeks, I think a month. I'm out of that business, because we all failed at that business, right? All the early national experts, here's my projection model, here's my projection model. They were all wrong. They were all wrong.
So that is Governor Cuomo, New York Governor Cuomo, saying all the models we've had that we've been dealing with and trying to assess what do we do about this virus, said all the models were wrong. He's right to an extent. They have been all over the place. I mean, we've had projections from original reports from King's College in London that we would see something like, could see a million plus deaths in this nation. Then they began to roll that back and say, well, 250,000. And then others have come out. And right now we're just under 100,000. The loss of any life, obviously, is valuable. It's not to be dismissed, not to simply say, well, that was unavoidable. In some cases, it was avoidable, and particularly in New York, and particularly in New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, because those were three of the areas that were forcing nursing homes to take COVID-19 patients. Now, we're going to get into that in more detail, because Governor Cuomo says, I was just following orders from Trump. Help me understand something. The Democrats don't think Trump has a single part of a brain. They're always attacking everything he says. But anytime they can say that they were following instructions from him that would give them cover, they're going to do it. So why? It's the common CYA, you know what that is, cover your own arse. And when you're doing it that way, then you can suddenly say, well, we listen to Trump. Where previously we won't listen to him. If he's taking hydroxychloroquine, as he said the other day, we're not going to do that. You could kill yourself. We pointed out the other day that there are in the front lines of New York 2,000 to 3,000, those on the front lines fighting COVID-19 that are taking hydroxy to see if it might be a prophylactic in the sense that it would keep them from getting it. A lot of that's still under study. I mean, there's no firm result so far. But if it has that possibility, it doesn't harm those folks who are taking it unless they are suffering some kind of a heart ailment to begin with, but they're not likely to be on the front line. But even then, they are either doctors or medical professionals themselves, and they're making a good judgment, or they're relying on a doctor to give them the same thing. And, of course, I'll remind you, the National Task Force for COVID-19 had, in some cases, admitted it might work. But keep in mind what else we heard from the task force. In the beginning, it was not going to be that bad. You don't need to worry about that. Those are the words of Fauci and Birx at the time, and not going to be that bad. And, of course, when we began to see that it could be that bad, then suddenly they reinstituted concern. I mean, you were told that mask won't do you any good. No sense getting a mask. Now, that storyline was either, one, that they actually believed it, or two, they were trying to keep the American public from sucking up all the masks available, considered part of the protection equipment for those dealing with the virus on the front line, or those threatened. And then, yes, we had a shortage of masks for a period of time, so maybe that was part of it. But then they said, no, you got to do it. And in fact, now pretty much in most every store you go into, the employees are probably already wearing it. You can walk in without a mask, although you might get some strange looks. I wear one when I go in the grocery store because I'm in the midst of a lot of people. I'm healthy and everything else. But, you know, if it makes him feel better, and, you know, it adds maybe a level of protection for me, if by chance it's there in the air. And, of course, remember in the beginning we were told it can get on surfaces, and if you touch that surface, you might come down with it. Now they've been saying, well, you have to do it almost immediately. It may not last that long. Watch for that. That could change again. And we're not far enough into these trials to see if the hydroxychloroquine will work as a prophylactic. Now, of course, with President Trump taking it, and he's constantly monitored, if anything goes wrong, we'll be aware of it. But the other thing that comes out of New York, which is clearly typical of what we're getting from the left, they're going to a little dance is what it comes down to. A little dance in the sense that we're going to try to basically have you look over here while what we're doing something over here entirely different. By that I mean, we're not going to say we're politicizing, because we would not do that. We would not politicize. That's what they're saying. We would not politicize this threat to our nation. Just wouldn't do it. We just don't have a political agenda. We're all in this together, which is a fact. But they do try to make a political agenda out of it. In fact, let me give you a chance to hear New York Governor Cuomo, because he was saying that he had no political agenda. And yet, when he's saying it, he clearly has a political agenda. Does he think we don't see through that kind of statement? Just listen.
Look, we're in a political environment here. I get it. I understand it. I'm a big, big boy. I can say all day long, I refuse to politicize this discussion. And I have not, and I will not.
I have not, and I will not. However, All the failings in our nursing homes, the deaths we had in our nursing homes, 5,000 plus. At one point, it was 20 to 25% of all those dying in New York State from the virus. They were in nursing homes, and they were in nursing homes in many cases, even after they'd been treated for COVID-19, testing positive at a hospital, and then sent to the nursing home. And the nursing home, by the governor's direction at that time, you got to take them. You have to take them. That was my ruling. Now, he continued that in force until May 10. He started it in March 20, somewhere around that date. And he continued it, did not reverse it until May 10, as they began to see the deaths mount up in the nursing homes. So for at least a full month of April, he did nothing. For the first 9 days of May, he did nothing to change it. And then what he did, because he knew it would be held up to scrutiny that it was a failing on his part, the guy that said, I have no political agenda, I'm not going to political weaponize this issue, just listen to how closely he jumped to CYA.
New York followed the president's agency's guidance. So that depoliticizes it. What New York did was follow what the Republican administration said to do. That's not my attempt to politicize it. It's my attempt to depoliticize it. So don't criticize the state for following the president's policy.
And that's not a political statement. Give me a break. And again, they will say Trump doesn't know what he's talking about. We're not going to do what he says. But now in this case, oh, we did it because that's what he said. He did not say that. Now here's what happened with the CDC guidelines. CDC guidelines, which he's saying, he mentioned it that, but then he puts it right back on the White House and Trump. CDC guidelines require any newly admitted and readmitted resident with a COVID-19 case to be placed in a designated COVID-19 care unit. In a care unit. While those who have met the criteria to have recovered can return to a regular unit in the nursing home. But the March 13 guidance that Cuomo's office put out stated a nursing home can accept a resident diagnosed with COVID-19 as long as the facility can follow CDC guidance. Now, that makes it appear that, well, you don't have to. But in fact, they did. The nursing homes were believing that that's a directive that we have to accept them. And that's the way it was being enforced until it became evident what was happening. And then suddenly, well, no, actually what we're doing is what the CDC guidelines were. So why did he suddenly, on May 10th, issue a change to his directive? The change was hospitals can only send patients who tested negative for COVID-19 to nursing homes in the sense that if they have a separate facility. But he did not make that clear in the beginning. And he said any nursing home could just say, I can't handle a COVID person in my facility. That's what he said through his March 25th order. It did not specify how the homes could refuse. It stated no resident shall be denied readmission or admission to the nursing home solely based on confirmed or suspected COVID-19. Now, I hope I didn't lose you in that trail. CDC did have a rule regarding newly admitted and readmitted going to nursing homes. They had to have a COVID-19 care unit. Many nursing homes didn't have such a thing, or they didn't get it understood by the directive from their governor. And again, now he said, well, any nursing home could have just said, I can't handle it. But at the time, he didn't specify they could do so. He said specifically in his directive, no resident shall be denied readmission or admission to the nursing home solely based on confirmed or suspected COVID-19. Of course, now, fall back on the CDC, fall back on blaming Trump. I want you to hear it again, Cuomo, how he was deflecting that he's to blame for the nursing home debacle.
New York followed
the president's agency's guidance. So that depoliticizes it. What New York did was follow what the Republican administration said to do. That's not my attempt to politicize it. It's my attempt to depoliticize it. So don't criticize the state for following the president's policy.
See, if we need to pull in and say we followed Trump's policy to protect us, we will do that. It's the same way they look at the U.S. flag, they look at the Constitution. If it benefits us, we will refer to it and hold it up as something pristine. If it damages us, but no. We're not going to do that. The state of New York, at last check, had something like 23,000 deaths. And again, 20% of those probably happening inside nursing homes. They are going to try to open up next week, maybe. We'll see what the governor ends up deciding. And here comes a warning about what's going to happen if Trump is able to turn the economy around, what the Democrats think will happen. We'll get into that. And also some, let's spend a little bit of time on what happened at the Lake of the Ozarks and total no separation.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So a couple final notes regarding New York State and the governor and what he did. And now, of course, saying we follow the directions. Not exactly. And again, part of the issue is coming even from inside his own party. They've been extremely upset. The governor even stated at one point, he's saying, we tried everything to keep it out of a nursing home, but it's virtually impossible. Now is not the best time to put your mother in a nursing home. That is a fact. Well, that comes a little bit late as well. Former New York Lieutenant Governor Betsy McCauley, a Republican, McCauley, says they should have announced to the public, we have a problem in nursing homes. We're going to help them, but you need to know where it is. She said instead the New York governor and his team, took the opposite tack. They hid it. And the nursing homes probably were also complicit in that as well. We had, of course, beaches open up in Florida. And the other day, well, Memorial Day weekend, there was not a lot of social distancing at the beaches. Now, that's one environment. Obviously, people on top of each other at the beach and the sun and the changing water. Changing water, I want to emphasize. That's different than what we saw happen at the Lake of the Ozarks, southwest region of Missouri, if you're not familiar with it, and viral footage coming out of there showing, I'm telling you, if imagine your pool. Let's say your pool, I'll just give you an approximation. Let's say you got a pool 20 by 40 feet. That's kind of small, but use that. It'd still be like putting 100 people inside that little area. Now, I saw the pictures coming out of the Lake of the Ozarks region at some of the pools of the resorts and some of the areas that always have great party pools, and on this day they had them again. I wouldn't have gotten in that water, in that pool water, regardless of the virus being in play or not. I was not going to get that water. You're talking about looking filthy and nasty and all these folks in and out of it, and many of them young and drinking like crazy. And I will guarantee you, if you did put a color in there when urine is released, it would show. So I'm not going to get in that anyway. And yet these young people did. And what happened? What happened because of that? Well, now the state decided to issue a coronavirus travel advisory. A travel advisory. The St. Louis County Executive also issuing a travel advisory, saying this reckless behavior endangers countless people, risk setting us back substantially from the progress we made in slowing the spread. I encourage everyone to follow the Department of Public Health advisory to determine a safe path forward. And, of course, it pulls folks at that lake resort more than just from Missouri, from the neighboring Arkansas, maybe Kansas, Oklahoma, who knows? They were from all over. And the advisory, again, is asking business owners to screen workers, test them if they went to the lake. Probably not a bad idea, but at the same time, a travel advisory because of what they did this last weekend. All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. James Carville says Trump is not only going to lose, we're going to beat his, well, you know, and you'll hear direct from James Carville when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
They're going to get his fat ass beat. All right, now, the question is, by how much? If we want to go do this lethargic kind of stuff and blah, 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 and worry about this, we can get 290, 295 electoral votes and we'll change nothing. If we go and take it to him and talk about what a massive fat failure he is, then we can run away with this thing. And you can defeat, it's not, idea is not just to defeat Trump. You have to defeat Trumpism.
The words of James Carville, former Bill Clinton advisor, of course, when he came out of Arkansas and ran for the White House, and Carville largely given credit for helping him get to the White House. And in this, he was talking on an interview with a podcast known at that time, let me see, let me get it, it's the Stuttering John podcast. The host, John, admits he stutters. That's, I guess, his John Melendez. And that's, I guess, his claim to fame on setting up his podcast. It distinguishes it from others, I guess. But Carville was his guest, and Carville, as you heard, made it very clear, Trump's not going to win. Trump has no chance of winning. And he said, but our point is not just to beat Trump, but beat Trumpism. Trumpism, that refers to you. That refers to you because you're a Trump supporter. You're infected with Trumpism. And they've got to get rid of that. So Trumpism is free enterprise and basically secure borders, no abortions. That's some of the Trumpisms that they want to get rid of. And they would. They will if they get an opportunity. Carville's convinced they will. Appearing on still another program. James Carville, and why do I give him the time and the attention? Well, because he is a major voice inside the Democrat Party. And when you hear him be as candid as he is, you get some insight of what's really going on inside the party. Because if they told Carville, hey, don't mention this because it might look like Trump could do better, he would do it anyway. No one's going to tell James Carville what he can and can't say. Not even his wife, who is a Republican. He said, when it comes to pillow talk, we never discuss politics. That's probably a good idea in every home, probably. But when he appeared on MSNBC, Carville, again, weighing in on the 2020 election, and he's talking, of course, about the most recent remarks by Biden, that if you don't vote for me, if you're black, you ain't black, if you're not voting for me. His response is, the comments Biden said compared to Trump's Access Hollywood tapes, remember where Trump is on audio talking about grabbing women? You remember that. Yes, I didn't like it, and yes, it was not appropriate, showed lack of class, but he did it. If I were electing a pastor, I would not have been electing Donald Trump. But comparing the Access Hollywood tapes to Biden's recent comments, Carville says, they're not in the same solar system. What Biden said will not, quote, amount to diddly squat. And then he said, American people are turning on Trump by the day. Turning on Trump. Really. He goes on to say the American people are turning on him by the day. Joe Biden is fine. Joe Biden, I thought he performed superbly in a lot of the debates. Really. And yeah, he still says some things sometimes that come out the wrong way. Yep. Go look at Trump gaffes. Okay. Look at the things he said and the words he's mispronounced. I mean, this is just mispronouncing that if you're a black American and you're not voting for me, you ain't black. That's not a mispronouncement. That's a statement. But anyway, Carville continues to the defense. I mean, this is just silly. We don't need to follow this kind of silliness that he puts out, talking about Trump and the idea that he's going to go play golf and that's going to turn this election around for him. That's about the only hope left is go play golf, man. At least you're not talking to the public. And again, he's talking about Trump. They need to get Biden playing golf, it looks like, because he's the one that's creating most of the uproar. He is getting attention. I mean, in the midst of all this crisis, Biden has just ceased to exist. He kept trying for a while to do his own daily news conference on the virus and then realized it's out of his league and it wasn't getting any traction anyway. So if nothing else, when he dropped that grenade in the room, if you're black and you can't decide if you're going to vote for me, well, then you ain't black. Well, then that did get him some traction. And maybe it goes back to that thing that, be it good publicity or bad, there's never bad publicity for you as long as they pronounce your name right. But Carville also, in addition to saying that Trump is going to get beat and we need to defeat Trumpism, he exposed something. He exposed something because he was asked on that same interview in that same podcast, well, what would you advise Joe Biden to do? And as you listen to what he's advising Joe Biden to do, you're going to hear it's promise them anything to get elected and then do what you want. That's what it's going to come down to. Promise everything. But then when you get in, you just do whatever you want to. This is James Carville talking. He knows a game. He knows a game that sometimes, as I've often said, if you don't have the steak, you have to sell the sizzle. That's what he's doing with Joe Biden. Please listen.
Just be Joe Biden and just give people a sense of change. Joe Biden, because it's time for a change. And the best word, political word in the English language is change, because it means anything you want it to mean, right? He is going to win. He needs to keep the party unified. He needs to open his campaign to people that can come aboard, some of these weak Republicans and independents. He needs to lock down the Bernie people. He's got to do some political stuff here, which he's totally capable of doing. He doesn't need to go overboard. He doesn't need to do any of that. He's just got to execute. And he's going to win. People don't want this guy back. It's really, we got to get over this mentality of 2016. Oh, God, this is going to happen. No, we're going to win. We got to win by a lot.
Yeah.
And people come up and, you know, these left-wingers and say, well, you hadn't moved far enough on this. You got one job, win the election. Then move wherever you want to.
Bang, that's it. Win the election, then do whatever you want. Act like you're all the way in the left with the AOC and the squad, and you're all the progressive far left policies. Act like you're there so they can come to your defense. Support them, and talk about it. But when you get in, just turn your back on them. So it's also an indicator for the far left. You got a question again. Do you want to support Biden? Now, compared to Trump, they probably will, but they really wanted Sanders, and they're probably still looking for a way to get Sanders back in. And Carville's saying again, the other thing, give people a sense of change. Remember, that was the Obama cry. Hope and change. Hope and change. That's like hold out your hand and wait for money or bird poop, which you think is going to hit your hand first. But he's saying Biden doesn't need to go overboard. He's just got to win. And here's the other thing that he didn't get into. And I've told you this previously. The left wants to see the nation continue to be shut down. There are some reports out that we've had a number of cases rising in 18 states. Georgia being one of them, which was one of the first to open. So the numbers are going up a little bit. We don't know how much yet. And, of course, after all the holiday activity and lack of social distancing and so forth, we may see the number go a little bit higher faster. And they'll use that. But the other thing is, they don't want the country opened up again because they want you to be suffering all the way to November. And in fact, Politico acknowledging that a top economist in the Obama administration told a bipartisan group of policymakers last month, we're about to see the best economic data we've seen in the history of this country. He's premising it on the fact that as the lockdowns ease, we'll start the recovery. And it will be good. Maybe, I don't think it's going to be fast, but it's a concern. Democrats are worried that if there's an economic surge prior to the election, it will help Trump. Well, obviously it will. So what do they want you to do? They want you to suffer. They want you to suffer for a long time. They don't want to see the country do any better. They want you to suffer. And they're acknowledging it's a worry if the economic surge hits that it's going to help Trump. One former White House official with the Obama administration stating, this is my big worry. Mine and all the top members of the party. High, he said. That's how much I worried. If we continue to have the economy begin to turn around and the unemployment rate begin to go down again, they say it's going to help Trump. Well, of course it will. He's redoing what he did previously. But they don't want you to have any relief. They don't. And what about this remark that Biden made the other day? We're going to spend a lot of time on the second hour, but I'm going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to discuss that a little bit because this is going to be something he's got to deal with. And it's not just with black voters. Not just with black voters. I'll explain. When we continue.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So when you heard James Carville say that Joe Biden's remarks the other day don't amount to anything, diddly squat, when he said that if you're black and you haven't decided to support me, then you ain't black. He made that a statement, of course, on the Charlemagne the God program radio show, and Charlemagne's a black man. And in the closing of the interview, Biden responding to Charlemagne saying, well, we need to have you back. We got a lot more questions. He said, well, if you got more questions, if you haven't decided by now that you're going to support me, then you ain't black. And they want to tell you, that that's not going to amount to anything. When they start saying it's not going to amount to anything, oh, it amounts. It amounts to something. It's like seeing there's a grenade on the floor with a pin out, and you're going to be told, don't worry, but it nothing's happening with it. Not at that moment, but any moment, it will. And, of course, they say, well, look at what all Trump did. Look at his remarks. And, of course, as I said, the Access Hollywood tape. And they want to take the Biden statement and say this is just overdone, hyped up, and we've never done that to Trump. They will say that. We've never done that with Trump. Really? What about this continual lie that he said, referenced the white supremacist in Charleston in that rally? He said there were good people on both sides. He was talking about those who came on both sides to either protest taking down Confederate statues or support them staying, not the radicals on either side, not the Antifa who came with masks and bats and everything else to attack, nor the neo-Nazis on the right. He wasn't talking about them, but that's not the word you've gotten repeatedly from the left and the left-stream media. To them, it's always, see, this is an example of what he did. But we never take things out of context. Right. Jack Brewer is a former NFL player. He's CEO of now the Brewer Group. He's a black man. And when he heard the remarks that Biden made, that if you're black and you haven't decided to vote for me, then you ain't black, I want you to hear Jack Brewer's response.
This man literally has pushed back against school choice, which is basically modern day segregation of schools. And we have all these poor African-American kids who are not getting educated right now because they don't have school choice in many of these states. And for me, it goes back to the prisons, man. I teach in prisons all across this country. And so at some point, it has to get off of the politics and talk about the real black families that Joe Biden has decimated through his 1994 crime bill. There's hundreds of thousands of black families right now who don't have their fathers or who have been locked up disproportionately. And it's time for him to answer to black America, keep it real, and stop race baiting.
He's been race baiting. That's exactly what he did the other day. And Brewer pointed out Trump, not Obama, Trump actually pushed for prison reform to let a lot of these folks out of jail that were incarcerated when maybe they got too stiff of a sentence at that time because of the passage of the legislation by Biden, endorsed by Hillary Clinton at the time. And, of course, Biden will say, as he did the other day, if you check my record, man, I've been endorsed every race by the NAACP. That is a lie. They don't endorse anyone. They give you ratings, and they give him high ratings, but they never endorsed anyone, have not endorsed anyone. And the guest host that had him on the other day when all this blew up, Charlemagne Legaud, the God, I should say, says Joe Biden is an intricate part of a system that needs to be dismantled. He said the whole system needs to be dismantled and rebuilt, and Biden's been a very intricate part of that system. He said my takeaway from the conversation was I heard him talking about things, what he did for black people back in the day, but you know, what have you done for me lately? He said that's my motto. And then he also added this, when it comes to picking a vice presidential candidate, Charlemagne said, if he decides to choose Senator Amy Klobuchar, Democrat of Minnesota, it would create, quote, voter depression in the black community. Voter depression. He said he's got to do something that energizes his campaign and brings enthusiasm. So those 4.4 million Obama voters who stayed home in 2016, more than a third of them black, don't do it this year. You got to make them come out. Trump got about 1.4 million himself, about 8% of the black vote. 4.4 million voters were not there for Obama previously, did not show up, and a third of them black, and they didn't show up. And Charlemagne says, you got to do something to bring them out. So Biden has got to quit the race baiting, and he's got to acknowledge that he's part of the problem, and if he puts a white woman on the ticket, that's not going to be good. Well, Biden's already tried to walk around that, said, I've got multiple candidates, many black women. That's indicating pandering, you think? Of course it is. We're going to spend more time on Biden's remarks because the backlash continues. And also this whole issue about taking the black vote for granted. And we're going to look at slanted news coverage. It's fake, but it's also slanted. And how we got there. And it's not pretty. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.